As we continue a focus throughout the year of what it means to follow Jesus, what it means for each of us as Christians to follow Jesus. Well, Jesus had left us some promises, many of them, the promises that Jesus is giving to the first century church before it has started. And there's power always in the name of Jesus and in his word. You and I talk about having dreams. You know, I dreamed of becoming a Marine. And then after I became a Marine in Vietnam and all, I'm dreaming of getting back home. But sometime, which is most of the time, the dreams you and I have are going to harm us. There's difficulty in those type of dreams. So what do I do? I wanted to give you one part of a verse today that you can hold on to and understand because, and many will say, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. And that's about how our life goes. But God says, you can trust me because I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you. I'm going to indwell you. I'm going away, but as you will see me leave, you will know that I have come to dwell in your heart. This morning I started to talk about when Jesus cleansed the temple. You all remember that. At the beginning of his ministry, he cleanses the temple, goes in, runs people out, calls them thieves and liars and thieves, turn God, his father's house that's supposed to be a prayer, they've turned it into a den of thieves. Okay? And I got to thinking about that and remembering I was discussing this morning about one of my professors, Dr. George Redding, that was going to emphasize for the class exactly how Jesus handled that situation because people were saying, and certainly would in our generation, said that that's not very Christ-like, that's not very Christian for you to do something like this. So when I go into class, all of us are sitting there. If you knew Dr. Redding, you would know what I mean. He had the voice, but he taught from the and preached from the Greek Bible. He was that brilliant. But when he jumped on a chair, stood up on the desk, and I thought, you know, I got a lot of inmates in the prison system that act that way. They send them straight on down to lockup. And he threw a chair and started yelling. And in that episode, he said, now that's the way Jesus ran them out. He threw the tables. He didn't go in and say, guys, would you please just stop this? Why? Because the temple at this time happened to be the place to where God's children came to worship. It was a temple set aside for the worship of our Lord. And they had brought in merchandise. It wasn't even that they were selling it there. Some people think, well, it's no. There was a part in the temple area where you could sell because a lot of travelers would come in. They needed money change. They needed an offering to give, and so they were supposed to be selling these offerings without a blemish. But what they ended up doing was going around and getting everything that was crippled or lame or broken and then selling it to the worshipers. And Jesus had had enough. Now, here's what I want you to apply, Christian. I want you to look in your heart through your salvation, and I want you to remember something. You and I at the beginning of the church age that Jesus ushered in, and at the time of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell each of us, our bodies have become the temple of God. Now, Jesus looks within us and says, what are you doing with your body? Do you not realize that your body now, I've come to live in you. I've come to always be there for you. And when the body breaks, when the body falls, you won't. You are my temple. So I want you to picture back to how Jesus walked into the physical temple during his time, 2,000 years ago, and cleaned it out. Well, he looks at each of us, our individual bodies, as holding now his temple. Well, this is our gathering place, folks, this church, this building. But the temple of God is you, each one of us. So therefore, when we're looking at our life that's ahead of us, we must look to our life as a gift from God, and we are to protect any and everything that goes into these minds. Is it not your mind that makes us go astray? Or for your pastor, it's his stomach. Is it not all of this that, you know, makes us go astray, the thoughts that we have? You know, this could bring me more comfort. Oh, this will feel good, and if it feels good, do it. No, the Lord says, I do not want you dealing with that stuff. Before any of that can take you over, before any of it can take you over, God gives you a choice. And he says, I will clean you out. Ask me. So in thinking about all of this, I wanted to give you a word from God. Because you see, we can find the key for our life. I cannot tell you how many times I rewrote that. But we can find the key for our life and our dreams, but on God's path to God's purpose within us. God said, I have a path for you. Well, Lord, I don't see the path. That's why I'm in you, Larry. But Jesus happens to be our personal GPS. Jesus happens to be our Wi-Fi. You see, Jesus says, I want you to understand, when you're hooking up your electronics, how about making me hook up through the hotspot? How about making me be a part of you? All of the parts of our body, God said, I gave you. I put those chips right there where I wanted them for you. But you need to understand, as he says. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Let me say that again. Lean not on your own understanding. The majority of mistakes and messes in my life was right there, my own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I want you to focus on that one verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means in everything you're getting ready to do, acknowledge Christ before you take the first step. You know, if I'm going to the Lord, you can take a break now. I think I have this down. I see the path. No, I don't do that anymore. I've hit the ditch of life way too many times. And I know that when the Lord says, this is the path that I want you on, then I am to understand in all my ways, I am to acknowledge Him. When you put Jesus out there first, and I'm not telling you that you need to go out there and saying, oh, I am such a good Christian. Please don't do that, because if your pastor's around, I'll tell them all exactly how we really are. You see, God says, when you put me first, I keep you first. Listen to me. When you put Christ first, God keeps you first. Meaning that in that direction, the dream that God has for us, the dream and the purpose, you see, it's on God's path. And when you want to change the direction, when you don't want to follow His roadmap, His GPS tracking, and you say, I know a shortcut. I have been there. Coming back from Gatlinburg, just ask my wife and my grandson. That's when he got mad at Siri. At woman papa's getting us around in circles. Now, I don't worry her, Dad. But I got lost. And the GPS, you know, I kept thinking, you know, any time there's going to be that boat, you know, and it's just floating down the stream. God says, you won't go in circles with me. How do I keep from going in circles? Acknowledge Him in everything I do and everything I'm getting ready to do. Lord, if what I'm getting ready to do is going to bring any disservice to you, if what I'm getting ready to do is not your will, please stop me. And He will. You want to find someone that can change the course of your life? His name is Jesus Christ. He does not tell you to go kill people who do not believe in Him. He tells you to love them. And He says, I love you. And I want you loving each other the way I love you. Not the way we love, but the way God loves. And He says, I am the beacon in your life. I will give you that direction. I will lift you up. And I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Even though we turn our back on God's direction time and time again, God will never turn His back on us. So should I not want to glorify God? Yet through my ignorance as a human being, in so many aspects of my life that I do not recognize God? Again, just think about it. Whoever pulls up beside of you at a red light or behind you, blowing a horn. And I know that as soon as they start blowing a horn, the light's still red. But they look at the yellow on the opposite side and know it's getting ready to turn. And I know that every time somebody does that, for any in here, that you bow your head and said, Lord, please forgive them. And you can look in your rearview mirror and you will see their mouth talking. You know, the lips in the rearview mirror are not reversed. Now you think of that. And you look back there and you say, oh, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Well, if you're not doing that, for one thing, in this generation, do not challenge them. They will follow you home. Let them have the road. Because they just might run into a blue light right after they pass you. But you see, God says, I am your beacon. Are we not the light of God? Are we not to take His light to the world? Are we not to be a beacon? Well, as a human being, I can't be, no. But Jesus says, I've come to indwell you. And everything that you do, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight. Your dream is dependent upon the following Jesus Christ our Lord. Because you see, your dream that you think you have so many times is not the dream God leads you to. You know, not everybody that when I was called to preach and looking, you know, oh, yes, I'm ready to go. I love evangelism. I'm called to preach. And I was preaching all the time. And, you know, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. So he calls me as a prison chaplain. Really wasn't the first pick, Lord, to be locked up. I spent more times locked behind bars than most convicted felons will ever spend. And I always smile because I knew that that was special training God was giving me to become the pastor of Vine Grove Baptist Church. You see, that's reality living. Each of us. Reality living. But Jesus says, I am your reality. My Father is the only thing in your life that is real. Do we not know that everything we see around us now that is physical, it's going to pass away? The only thing that's going to make it is the real you inside this body. Our bodies cannot enter the presence of God because our bodies are sinful. So God says, I love you so much, acknowledge me. And Jesus said, I will clean you up. I'm going to polish you. He's talking about you, your spirit, the real you that makes this physical vehicle move. And I'm not talking about a thought process. Many says, well, your spirit is your brain. Gosh, I hope not. And I know not. No. There's another part to every one of us. You see, God happened to have been the creator of science. Now, I had much rather listen to the professor who's the creator than for people who've studied and trust their own thinking, their own mind. You ever notice that scientists keep moving a goal in certain areas? And I had to smile the other day when they, whatever it is that's telegraphing stuff back or sending it back. I'm catching up with my age. Aren't telegraph? No. Remember? And they said, there is a planet out there very similar to Earth and has its own sun. Well, my Father in heaven has his sun. And it happens to be that sun that you and I are to keep in our heart. That's the power for everyday living. You're going to mess up, people. It's not an if you mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to be in a mess. And God will always get down in that ditch of life and lift you up. He'll always send somebody. But when you have to acknowledge him first, you and I must, in all our ways, acknowledge him. That means that we must stand on the right side of the dream. The right side of the dream that you have in your mind, the right side of that dream is acknowledge God. Acknowledge God in that dream. And God then will redirect whatever portion of the dream needs to be redirected. Or he'll give you a brand new direction and you will find later in life that your dream ended up way up here about the time you got ready to go home to meet the Lord and all this rest God had planned so you would witness that dream. The dream of doing bad things is not of God. But God says, I love you and I'll take care of the path. You just acknowledge me. I'll make certain that that path that you're on will get cleaned out of all obstructions. Well, even to the point, if the mountain is there and you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can ask that that mountain be removed and it will move. Do we not understand when God speaks to us that he's talking to us also about the mountains that we see in life when we're in school, the Goliaths of the giants of the world that want to stop us? And God says, acknowledge me. You cannot fight Goliath and win. And what did David say? In the name of the living God, you uncircumcised wretch. He was a little rougher than that. And he picks up 5 stones. A lot of people, you know, I don't know this, but I do know some of the professors said, well, he had 4 brothers. It only took 1 stone. But they see, that's the human part of us. Lord said, pick up 1 stone, and I want you to go over and slay the giant. What do we do from a human side? What if I don't hit him right? See, he never killed Goliath with a stone. He knocked Goliath down and then took the sword out of Goliath's own sheath and then killed him. God says, follow my lead. I'll make sure that if you need a weapon, it'll be there. You see, it's always been Jesus, always, that watches after us. And he says, acknowledge me in all your ways. God will not bless our will or our path because our will or our path will hurt us. Lord, I cannot believe, I serve you. I'm wanting to do things right. And Lord, here is what I'm wanting to do. Well, Larry, that's not what I want you to do. If you're serving me, shouldn't you talk to me about what I need you to do? And I will bless your life and all the other. Yeah, but Lord, sometimes I think I know better. It doesn't take us long in life to realize that we don't know better. Because we deal with brokenness every day. And you have a pastor that hurts because of the brokenness of so many Christians. A brokenness that real living can give us. The breaking down of the psyche. The breaking down of our spirit. Do we deal more with the world than we deal and focus on our citizenship, which is in heaven? Do I only think about what's going to happen down here? I must focus my heart and my mind deeper than what I see. Because what I see is not what will hurt me. What I see is only the physical army of this world. And Jesus says, I have overcome. I have overcome the world. Trust me. Trust me. Read your books. They're enjoyable to read. But trust God. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have done 2 evils. They have turned away from me the spring of living water. And they've dug their own wells, which are broken wells and cannot hold water. So many in our generation, it's not so much unlike any of the other generations. We want a religion that speaks to us. I'm a Christian, folks. I could care less about religion. I'm a Christian. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Religion? Religion, some people, do they not have? Hey, we're in the state of Kentucky. I know people that are UK fans religiously. It doesn't matter what kind of storm is raging. if a Yovel, UK game is going on, and then next day could be sprinkling, oh, it's too bad out there, I can't go to church. That's what religion is. Religion, there's nothing wrong with the ball teams, but religion means that your focus systematically, you're getting in a habit of doing this and doing that. Christianity is a personal relationship. I cannot get in a habit of doing a certain thing because, folks, I have no idea from Sunday to Sunday or day to day which way God will lead me in a sermon. None whatsoever. Now, if I were religious, I would follow the books of sermons that are printed for us to preach. Religion won't get me to heaven. Religion will not help me in the brokenness of my heart. You see, God is real. He's not something written down in some book that is fictitious. God is real. And he says, I want you to know how real I am. I'm sending my son, and my son will take every sin that you will ever commit, and he'll make certain it's on that cross with him. And he did. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, when God called me to preach, he knew every mistake I would make before I made them. He saved me anyway, and he called me anyway. He knew I would mess up here and mess up there. I didn't know it, because at the beginning I wanted to be very religious. And then I got around too many religious people. And then when you get around too many religious people, you see them saying, well, we really don't want that kind in the church. Well, let me tell you, I am the that kind they didn't want in a church. Snotty-nosed kid on Buffalo Hill in Buffalo, Kentucky. Daddy died at 6. And running all over. I was that kind. But you see, Jesus says, you're mine now. Larry Pete, you're a child of a king. I always liked that part. But you know what I love the most? I know it's personal. Because folks, every dream we have, God will not let you fulfill that human dream if that dream is going to hurt you. So you and I, with our dreams, I'm not saying don't have them. I'm saying give them to the Lord and don't get upset when he sort of bypasses the way you thought it would work. Because he does not want us hurt. And our own way of thinking gets us hurt every time, doesn't it? I don't remember ever any problem affecting my life that God made happen. It's all through my own foolishness in life. And it is that foolishness that God says, put me first. Until you do that, the foolishness is there. The foolishness will rule you. Has it worked that good for you all these years? When you find yourself doing the same thing over and over again, don't you think maybe it's not working? If you're trying to get out of it, you've tried to get out of it the same way over and over again, sort of foolish to keep doing the same thing? Jesus says, I will take you. I will choose the weak. I will choose those. The ones I want. Many are called, but few are chosen. Not for you to choose any more than it is for a church, any of them, to vote as to whether or not that a person can come forward and accept Jesus. Well, that's just sin. You don't get voted on. Lord, you made a mistake. I know him. Larry, I know you. Yeah, let's forget that, Lord. You see? God says, whosoever will, let him come. And God will take the foolishness of this world, meaning what they call foolishness. You do remember that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to the world. And God said, then I'll take that foolish, because he is already victorious. Why would I fear what people can do after knowing what God can and will do? And when it gets right down to it, and I've done this many times, I just tell God on them, Lord, I don't have any idea what to do. God likes it when you get that way. And then you're asking him, Father, I'm at the end of the rope. It's not my rope, Larry. God's ropes have no ending. Do you get that? What you're wanting to do from the human standpoint, when God knows that it's going to affect your spirit, then God says no. Can you run that stop sign? Yes. Free will, yes you can. And God's mad at me. How can God be mad at you? He's already saved you knowing what you were going to do in the future. He's not mad at us. He loves us. That's why God hates sin, because it is sin that brings his family down. It's sin in the heart of man that brings him down to the depth of the sea of life. And God said, I hate sin. And all you do, my child, he says, you cry out to me. The Jesus that went to the cross, the Son of God. You remember the study on that? If you don't, I'll take you back through it one day. But it was all about God's will be done. Do you remember studying, though, that as Jesus is taking all of this and the scripture truly says, there's where you will see and what this means. He was beaten and tortured so bad he did not look like a human. He didn't look human. That's how bad he was beaten. That's how much he loves us. He could have called legions of angels. Remember? He could have called them down and everything would have been stopped. The Son of God was being massacred. And he could have called them. But he did not. Now let me tell you something new for you to think of. That's exactly what he told us to do. You see, he had to pay the price first. It was Jesus that paid your debt. Jesus that took your sins upon him who was sinless. He refused to call down help from heaven. But then he tells them, I'm going away. Now you call down help from heaven. He opened the door for the power to be with his church because he paid the price of not calling them down to save himself. It's us. It's us, folks, that he loves so much. That was God on that cross. We saw him as God's son. That was God on that cross. Every drop of sweat and blood was a heartbeat of God. And he says, I give you the world. It doesn't look like we've done much with it. Could it be that we have not, in all our ways, acknowledged him? In America today, do you hear elected officials and all, you will hear a handful, acknowledge God in all their ways. A lot of people are religious. There are few Christians. A Christian is one who follows Christ. And I've just told you what it means to follow Jesus in this area of our life. Your dreams, the path, God's purpose. I promise you, you think today is bad? There's a bright day coming. The Lord wants to reveal to us His hope. 2,000 years ago, He showed it. He also displayed His love. And He says, now you're my temple, and I will fight against anything that is evil that wants to come into my temple. I will cleanse you. Open the door and let me come in. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord, because we know it is your love that sustains us. Oh, Father, your forgiveness is so overwhelming. The blessings you continue to give our nation, I just can't understand. But Father, I do know that there are many of your children throughout this earth, and many are crying out to you, Father, for so many have taken the wrong path. Lord, please revive us again. Once again, Father, I pray that you place your spirit within the church buildings as you direct each individual temple that is serving you. Our churches are failing, Father. Look to our heart. Our families are broken, Lord. Hurt and pain and despair. We pastors, Father, don't know what to do anymore. And we realize we never did. So we lift it all to you, Father. I ask your special blessing and anointing upon this church body. I pray, Father, as your servant, that you will touch each heart, that you, Father, will show them the dream that you will sustain and direct their life and their family. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.